B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Felger and Mads here on 98.5, a Sports Hub and simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. No need to adjust your radios, Alexa speakers, or fancy flat screens. No mic, no Mads today, and the rest of the week. I'll give you the heads up early about that. Instead, you have Jim Murray, Adam Jones in for the guys. Marshall Hook over in my normal spot. I'm already pissed because I forgot my headphones. I'm using Felger's headphones. They're beat to hell. I don't know how he uses these. I'm already uncomfortable and angry. I'm just going to let that out now,
You think he'll ever use them again now that another human being is using them?
He has Jerry Seinfeld-esque type germophobia, so now that he knows they've been on my fat, greasy head, he'll probably never use them again. So if you're listening, Mike, on your fancy island getaway, yes, I'm using your headphones. We'll stick to the usual theme and no pleasantries because nobody cares how we are, nor should they. We'll get right into a re-entry Monday where we'll touch on the Celtics, the return of Isaiah Thomas tonight as the Denver Nuggets are in town, taking on the Celtics at the Garden. We'll do some tournament stuff. We'll laugh at Dustin Pedroia, which I know you want to do, Jones, as do I.
No.
We'll gauge Marshall Hook's temperature on the Red Sox because he actually cares. For this team that feels like there's no buzz for at all outside of being concerned about the bullpen. We'll touch on whether or not Conor McGregor's pump-up speech to the Bruins over the weekend was worthwhile for people getting amped about, or if it gave you douche chills. But I would like to begin with the Patriots, if that's cool with you.
Sure.
Whose depth chart at wide receiver continues to look like the following, if you haven't been paying attention so far in the offseason. We have Julian Edelman. Good, right? Great. Underpaid Super Bowl MVP. Philip Dorsett, I'm happy he's back in a one-year deal, but certainly not a legitimate number two. I think he's a good three, maybe four. Maurice Harris, Bruce Ellington, Braxton Berrios, something called Damoon Patterson, Damon Patterson, however the hell you want to pronounce it. I'm sure he won't even end up making the team.
I'm pretty sure it's Damoon.
Damoon?
Yeah.
Over Damoon Patterson and Josh Gordon in theory, but suspended, restricted free agent. Who knows if he'll actually play. Not great.
No.
But there is buzz building, really over the last day or so, about the Patriots making a trade. Bert Breer mentioned it not just once, but twice in his MMQB column today. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, has a column up right now alluding to trades that could be made. So, I don't know. I think when you look at some of these guys, especially ones that are going to end up being free agents, they're in the last year of their deal. I'm not the biggest A.J. Green fan, but... And the money's not that great. I think he's on the books for $15 million this year. Sterling Shepard. There's names out there that I think would be a good fit. And more than anything else, even without getting into the names, Jones, they got to do something. Like, this is what they're going to do, right? Like, I've just now convinced myself this is the avenue they're going to go. This is the reason they weren't in on any of these names in free agency. Or, well, they were, but they were kind of a day late or a dollar short, like when it came to Adam Humphries. They got to do something. And what they're going to end up doing is a trade. Because with this buzz building here, I'm starting to believe that is the direction they're going to go.
Well, what else can they do? Like, unless you like Jordy Nelson, who finished strong last year. He had a good finish in Oakland, but I don't know if that means anything. Like, I don't know who else they were throwing to. It just kind of feels like at the end of the year when half the leagues quit, Jordy Nelson put up some numbers late. I kind of halfway believe in Randall Cobb. So, you know, if you're telling me they're bringing in those names in free agency, I'm at least intrigued. After those guys, who are we talking about? Michael Crabtree, who can't catch and gets punked every time he plays Aqib Talib? Like, who are we talking about? So I think it has to be the trade route. And I like the name you brought up, Sterling Shepard, a lot. He's somebody who I know a lot of the local beat guys identified when he came out of Oklahoma as a possible fit here. Inside-outside receiver, guy who's a bit of a route runner.
And feels redundant now that they've picked up Golden Tate.
Exactly. It feels like that's the kind of move they would capitalize on, where a guy has fallen out of favor and or maybe falls behind somebody else, or he's not going to be utilized the same way, and now the Patriots swoop in and get him at a discount. That feels like their kind of move. I hope they're thinking big along these lines, and I don't even know if Shepard would qualify as a big move. A.J. Green obviously would. If you want to repeat, And that's the goal in New England. That's the goal here every single year. It's very binary with the Patriots. They either win or they don't. There's no little ribbon for getting to the AFC title game. You know, there's no pat on the butt for losing the Super Bowl. It's either did you win or did you not? And whether that's fair or not, we can debate, but they've raised their own bar. That's what it's been for two decades. If you want to repeat, I don't think you can roll out mostly the same roster from last year. I keep hearing over and over and over again, Jim, oh, well, they did it last year, so how can you say it's not going to work? Well, it's harder to repeat in the NFL than it is to win. They've already won. That's very difficult. To repeat, no team's done it since 2003-04. And the team that repeated in 2004 went out. They got Corey Dillon. They were aggressive. This has been the polar opposite from Bill Belichick. And in fairness, he tried to be aggressive in 2016. It almost worked, but didn't. They got Gilmore. They traded for Cooks. They got to the Super Bowl and lost. I hope they're thinking bigger than just, you know, a bunch of bums at wide receiver missing hamstrings.
Yeah, and if you're to believe some of the stats from Pro Football Focus, Maurice Harris actually looks like he might be an okay fit. I know
Has Gasper started to win you over on him? Is that what's going on?
Chris Gasper, Boston Globe, was in on Friday, his usual spot with Felger and Madison. He thinks he could.
He likes him, right?
But even before that, like, I don't know, just again, based on the PFF numbers in terms of his drop rate, which is minimal at best. He was one of the best wide receivers, believe it or not, in the slot. He has good hands,
sure.
Rather than me fumbling around with this. But he's kind of a plodding type guy. That seems like a guy that could end up coming here and sticking. Is he going to be, you know, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker type? Probably not, because of how slow he is. But I think that's a guy that could ideally fit. Bruce Ellington, please. That's just a return man at best. But again, just looking at the depth chart in general, it just feels negligent as of right now. They have to do something. The thing that's continued to piss me off a little bit with the way that they've handled their offseason so far is that everything just feels, especially with wide receiver, it just feels like they're chasing. Like, they were obviously in on Adam Humphries. Like, he said it at his press conference. Mm-hmm. There was interest in Golden Tate. And now there's interest in Jordy Nelson.
Cole Beasley.
Yep. Right. Yeah, he even admitted that at his press conference. So what is that? Is it because Bill was away in Barbados? Is there, you know, are they too stubborn in terms of what the number would be? Is it because they can't front load the contract? Because now, as it turns out, and kudos to Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, who was on with the guys last week explaining this, like, they're kind of in cap trouble. And now it's funny how other writers are now, you know, writing about this. And if you look at where the numbers are right now, they're like the second worst in the league out of 32. It just feels like it's just late. So now it's like their hand's going to be forced to have to make a trade. And I'm convincing myself, stupidly or not, that this is what they're going to do because they have to do something at this position.
Would you have a problem if they have what? I think 6 in the first 101 or something like that. They have 12 picks overall. Like, is there any pick you don't want them to trade for a receiver? Like, is the first round pick in play if we're talking a big receiver for you?
No, if we're talking like a name, and again, I'm no AJ Green fan. There's been some injury history there. I think there's inherent gutlessness because of how long he's been in Cincinnati, but there is talent there. Maybe he comes here and it's, you know, Moss all over again and they can, you know, it's a reclamation project type of thing. He has the talent. So, yeah, no pick is off limits for me. You've seen what these going rates are for receivers of that talent level, whether it's Odell Beckham Jr. or last year with Amari Cooper. So if they ended up having to give a first for him, I can live with that.
See, I would love that. And I agree with some of the flaws that AJ Green has in his game. Injuries, he's a little soft. I don't know if he's a diva. Like, I don't think he acts out or demands the football. I don't think he's like that. But is he the kind of guy who's going to fight through contact? I don't know about that. That said, he's a ridiculous receiver. Ridiculous. And he can move around a little bit. He's not just a pure outside guy. He can play in the slot a little bit. So I would love that. I'd give up the first-round pick for A.J. Green, for sure, if they could figure out a way to worm him in under the cap. I would be okay with them drafting a receiver in the first round, too.
Like, so would I. I just don't think that that's going to end up happening.
Well, it might not, but we were all shocked, I think, when they used the first-round pick on Sony Michel last year.
Yeah.
So I at least Bill had done that before with Maroney, but as much as I like running backs and like Michel, I didn't see that coming. No one saw that coming. And usually, right when you think you figured Bill out, he goes out and blows up the mold and does something different. So I'd suggest to Bill Belichick, if you want a talented wide receiver, try drafting one in the first round instead of trying to find, you know, Taylor Price out of Ohio or Aaron Dobson out of Marshall and trying to find the next, you know, the diamond in the rough. Just go get the diamond. Don't worry about the rough. Just go get the actual talented guy in the first round. And I would like to see them do that. So one way or another, long story short, I would like to see them utilize that first round pick on a receiver, because to this point in free agency, And I know they have a plan, Jim. It's only, what's today? It's only March 18th. Is the Super Bowl March 18th, Jones? No, no, it's not. So there's plenty of time to figure it out. It's just phase one of free agency or phase two or whatever. There's a long way to go. I'd like to see them utilize some first-round draft capital on a receiver because free agency at that position, to this point, has been a bust.
Yeah. Well, so I think bust is a little strong. So I said this on Saturday, and so I don't, you know, if I had to grade it, I don't grade the offseason a D or an F.
No, no.
I think it's like a C minus.
At receiver.
Oh, receiver.
Been a bust.
Oh, yeah, no, without a question.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
F. Big, big red F so far. But overall, they've addressed areas where there were serious issues last year. Run defense, this big fatty they bring in from the Jets.
Special teams.
And special teams. And I know we're not doing gunner talk. You want to do gunner talk, Jones? But they were awful at kick coverage last year and bringing Brack Brandon Bolden, and they're obviously addressing a need there. So
Terrence Brooks, love that Terrence Brooks move.
I know, but it does matter. I mean, three phases of the game, as we know. Okay. You want to do gunner talk, Jones? Either way, I don't think overall that the offseason has been a complete disaster. But at wide receiver, yes. So, would you be willing to move on from the number one pick or, you know, maybe the first and the third for an A.J. Green? Do you want to see the Patriots trade for a wide receiver? Because it feels like there is real buzz building there. 617-779-0985. It is a re-entry Monday here. So, again, we'll touch on the Celtics. We'll get to the Bruins, the return of Isaiah Thomas, all of that. But we're going to open up on the Patriots here for about the first hour or so. If you want to join the show, 617-779-0985. No Mike, no Maz. It's Jones, Murray, Marshall, Hook, and you here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Nas on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home,
you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's definitely my understanding. That was, that was something that, you know, I was, you know, weighing the options between both teams. And, you know, it was tough. You know, obviously they have a lot of success with, you know, guys, you know, similar to me. And, you know, obviously, you know, everything I've said to you guys today about why I chose here is true. And I'm excited to work with this team and, you know, hopefully propel them to some wins and a playoff run.
A handshake deal is a handshake deal, but nothing was official until you signed it. You could have changed your mind. Was there temptation? And what was your feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean, when I committed to Tennessee, I was, you know, obviously I'm a man of my word. I'm gonna keep my word there. But, you know, it's tough. It's a big decision. And, you know, it's a decision that, you know, will impact me for the rest of my life. So, obviously took a lot of thought into that. You know, having family around me was good. But, you know, once I committed to Tennessee, I was really excited to be a Titan, and still am.
The voice-cracking Adam Humphries, the last honest man in America, was a free agent last with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ended up siding with the Tennessee Titans. Even though the Patriots tried to swoop in and, according to some reports, offer as much as $10 million per year for his services. But no, he's I'm going to be a Tennessee Titan. Oh, I'm an honest man. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. No Felger, no Maz this week. Instead, it's Jim Murray in the A-hole chair, along with Adam Jones, Marshall Hook, and you at 617-779-0985. So buzz building around talk of the Patriots trading for a wide receiver, because Lord knows they've missed out in free agency. So would you like to see them do that? And are you willing to see them even trade the number one pick this year? 617-779-0985. I'm reading from Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, who, again, he's one of the people that's making a case here. This is the way that they could probably go. He writes, they probably dodged a bullet with the pedestrian Humphries. And this is a guy like most people, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know a whole hell of a lot about. It's not like I watch a lot of Bucks football.
And Adam Humphries.
Yeah, it's not like they're on prime time. But that said, like, you read about the stats, how they used him in the slot. He had a big year last year in a contract year. It just felt like he would be a fit. And obviously the Patriots were interested. So that's frustrating. But Golden Tate, 31, the age kind of concerned me a little bit there. But tough SOB. That's a guy I thought would have been a perfect fit here. It makes no sense to me that he goes to the Giants. Odell Beckham, I would have loved here. Too much. And personally, I would have liked to him for him to have come here just to spite Mike and Tony because they're so against the diva wide receiver. But I think he's a stud, even though he's a giant pain in the ass. Antonio Brown obviously wasn't going to be dealt here because of the Steelers, but there's guys that are out there. Like, so again, you're big on Sterling Shepard, who now, for whatever reason, feels like he could be in the outs with the Giants. Maybe, again, it's just a redundancy thing because they have Golden Tate. Is there anyone else that comes to mind that you think could be a good fit that they wouldn't have to trade that first overall pick for?
Oh, well, I was going to say, so Green to me makes a lot of sense. I'm trying to run through, you know, some of the other receivers who are out there and he ticked off. I mean, look, I was not gung-ho about Humphreys. You know, I wasn't really gung-ho about Beasley or any of those guys either. I like Tate. But the fact that they liked him is what bothers me about it. Like, I, on the one hand, I don't feel like Adam Humphreys deserved $10 million, and I probably would have piled on for them giving that money to him. At the same time, they wanted him, they chased him, and they couldn't get him. So, obviously, they're looking in the slot, which I don't totally get. I know Julian Edelman is more versatile. He can play outside. He can play inside. And, you know, Sterling Shepard, I think, has some of that versatility as well. AJ Green would have less of it but could do it. I'm interested and intrigued by the fact that that's where they feel they have the bigger need and they need to upgrade because it feels like that boundary outside guy is, on the surface, more what they need, right?
Yeah, they definitely need someone that can be on the outs. Because I like the Dorsett signing. I don't know how you felt about that.
I think if he's your fourth receiver, he's fine.
Yeah.
So they need another guy or two on the depth chart ahead of him.
They need someone else that can get on the outside and win a one-on-one battle against a cornerback and, you know, occasionally stretch the field. You know, normally the guy sitting in this field hates the stretch the field guy, but I do think that you need that. At the very least, someone that can win one-on-one battles. That's
sure.
All, because they really don't have that outside of Edelman right now. They just don't. Philip Dorsett's a good 3-4-ish type guy.
Oh, I'll give you another name, by the way. And this guy's a restricted free agent. He's come up before. Do you like Robbie Anderson?
I do.
I would. I mean, it'd be fun.
And big, right? Isn't he 6'3",
6'4"? Yeah, he's big. He's fast. He does move around the formation a little bit, too. He obviously has his own issues off the field when it comes to getting pulled over and yelling at cops, yelling unsavory things at cops,
right, yeah,
and about their wives, et cetera, et cetera. But on the one hand, I say, well, they're not going to give up a pick to bring in Robbie Anderson and then pay him. At the same time, they've done that with Wes Welker before. They've given up a first rounder for Brandon Cooks. So I'm not ruling out they would give up a pick for someone like Anderson, who's in the division, and they should know well if they like him.
Hook, you spent yesterday with Ted Johnson doing an afternoon show here, and you ended up doing, what, 2 hours on Josh
Gordon? So are we
making too much of this that the Patriots haven't done anything? What was the vibe from college yesterday that we should just wait for Gordon to come back and wait for the NFL to reinstate him?
We, Ted and I, were kind of dismissive of Josh Gordon.
Good.
Not that they shouldn't have done the contractual, you know, hullabaloo that they did. That's fine. That's just retaining rights. But he's not and shouldn't be part of the Patriots' plans. But the callers seem to think that he is. And then they said all of the exact same things they said when they traded for him. Well, it's all reward and no risk. And if he doesn't work out, you can just cut him. And if he's playing with Brady and Belichick, well, then he'll be able to keep his head on straight. And to one caller, I said, well, isn't that exactly, I mean, like, to the T, exactly what you and other people said when he got traded here, and it didn't work out. Why is this different? Well, he'll have a training camp. I'm like, well, he had lots of training camps with the Browns, and it didn't work out. So I think that that's one of the reasons that Patriots fans aren't getting too worked up about this, because they still have some version of Josh Gordon in their head as though he is going to be, I mean, if he even steps foot in Foxborough next season, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I'm already annoyed because, look, you wish him the best, right? We're not a bunch of ogres here, even though it's the sports vault to my left. We get it. But, you know, you wish the guy the best in his personal life. But I'm already annoyed because I think it was Mike Giardi of NFL Network that tweeted this week, like, oh, look at him working out here in Gainesville, Florida, and he's running on the beach. Like, enough. He's unreliable. He helped last year in the 11 games. Hell, in the second half of the Minnesota game, he's what sparked the offense. That's really why they won that game. So I don't think he was useless. He's just unreliable. You need to have another real option. You can't count on Josh Gordon for 2019.
And the team, by the way, because don't forget, his last game was that ugly loss to Pittsburgh.
Right.
They lost two games
last
two games.
When they sent him off the field on the final play.
And when he was gone is when I think this offense kind of came together and clicked doing what this offense does and not trying to, highlight Josh Gordon and not forcing the ball down the field to him. When Tom Brady got back to just spreading the ball around to all of his different receivers and no guy stood out, that's when they clicked and they didn't lose another game after that. You, who loves your, particularly very finely cherry-picked stats.
Yep.
I believe they were undefeated once Josh Gordon was suspended indefinitely.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, they did. They did not lose. Without Josh Gordon, they were undefeated. That's true.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they had to go to overtime and win a coin flip. But, yeah, other than that, they didn't lose. Yeah, true.
So, all right, well, to you we go. And would you be willing to see this team at least trade away their first pick this year, 32 overall, maybe a first and a third for an A.J. Green or another big name? Because it does feel like there is buzz building for the Patriots trading for a wide receiver. 617-779-0985. Jim in the car, you're first up here on Felger and Mass. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys, what if I told you for a second-round pick you could get a receiver that had 102 receptions, 1,600 yards, 13 touchdowns?
And who is that?
You know who that is?
It sounds good. No, who?
Yeah, it sounds great, doesn't it? Andy Isabella from UMass. And before you go crazy, against Georgia, he had 15 receptions for 219 yards against one of the best secondaries in the country with nobody throwing to him. Against BYU, 10 receptions, 100 yards. University of Southern Florida, 13 receptions, 191 yards. He's the best slot receiver you're going to find in the country today, and he plays in your backyard, and you guys aren't even talking about him.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, hang on. That's actually incorrect, because we talked draft on my program, and we had on Tony Pauline, draft analyst, and we asked him about Andy Isabella, so we have talked about him. Those stats are very misleading, though. Those, like, when he's like, 13 touchdowns and 1,600, I'm like, who are we talking about? Who is this guy for a second-round pick? I like Andy Isabella, but I would not reference any of those stats.
But I'd like to thank Mr. Isabella for calling.
Yeah.
And telling us about his son.
As Jimmy suggested in my ear, you want to call Mark Bertrand. It is 10-2, 617-779-0985 for all your UMass football takes. Yeah.
Andrew in Medford, you're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Andrew.
Hi, guys. So I could just kind of be a jerk for rewriting history a little bit here, but doesn't this whole wide receiver situation kind of make you regret the Isaiah Wynn pick even more? Like, guys like Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore, they were floating around at that point in the draft. And the cupboard was bare at wide receiver this time last year. I just feel like it's kind of a swing and a miss now.
Oh, Andrew, preach. I'm Mr. Revisionist History when it comes to that pick, because Calvin Ridley was there and ended up being fantastic for the Atlanta Falcons last year. And ultimately, did it matter? No, because they sucked. But if you look at him statistically, he was a stud for them. I think he finished with 7 touchdowns. His brother's in this year's draft. But yeah, considering Wynn, and granted, we didn't know the injury was going to happen, but I don't know, like, throughout the year when it felt like, and I know, stupid me, calling it a lost year. In fact, the last time you and I were doing these shows, filling in for these guys, Jones, it was after that Pittsburgh game. Gordon gets suspended. I was like, oh, lost year.
Yeah.
They'll be out in the second round at best. Egg on my face. I'm happy that ended up happening. But they needed a wide receiver at times last year. They obviously did. It's why they went and got Josh Gordon. And it feels like they're scraping the bottom of the barrel now. Okay, so Adam Schefter's saying today that there's also interest from the Patriots in Jordy Nelson, who you brought up in the first segment today. Like, okay, he ended up putting up decent numbers last year, but with the age and at that point, it just feels like garbage time in the season for the Raiders, so someone has to make those catches.
And I think it was high volume, which you could spin one way and say, well, they were using him a lot, but the other way is, they were forcing him the ball a ton, so of course he's going to put up some. It's like,
he hasn't been the same guy in 4 years. He's been beaten up the last handful of years, and it just feels like that would be Eric Decker all over again, or Kenny Britt, and I'm good with that.
Yeah, there's a chance he doesn't make the club. There's a chance he hits, and there's a chance he doesn't make the club. Just to hammer home the Isaiah Wynn point from the caller, no wide receiver had been taken at that point. So when they were on the clock at 23, they had their pick of it. Could have had any receiver they liked, whether
Moore, Ridley, right?
Moore went the very next pick, 24 to Carolina. Ridley went 2 picks later.
Yeah.
They had their pick there. Cortland Sutton was the next receiver off the board. He was projected, on that first, second round line. He ended up going early second round to Denver. He can play. Dante Pettis had an okay year for the Niners. So those are the first four receivers off the board. They could have done whatever they wanted at that pick at wide receiver, or 31 for that matter. I love Sony Michel, but they could have gone receiver there too and gotten a good, young, productive player. And instead, they have an injured offensive lineman.
Yeah, but what the hell do I know? Because now Isaiah Wynn is going to be the left tackle. Coming off a year that he didn't play because he had a blown tire. So he's going to be the left tackle protecting the blind side of your 42-year-old quarterback. Everything's going to be fine. It's funny, though, because it turns out as it turns out, that Bill Belichick actually felt the same way I did about Trent Brown, and that he should still be a Patriot. Oh, yeah, but no, he's an Oakland Raider, so we'll touch on that. Some new scoop there, courtesy of Peter King. Also, a pair of tickets for you to go to Monday Night Raw, WWE Monday Night Raw. And that's coming up before the end of the hour. But Marshall Hook is going to get you caught up in the latest in the sports hub headlines. And then we'll get to the, Bill Belichick and Trent Brown. Sorry, turns out he wanted Trent Brown, but he's a Raider. We'll get to that here on Felger and Mass 98.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys for most of the week. It's vacation time for many people here in the building. And
aren't
radio
you guys
in
for all of the week?
Jones is up until Thursday, correct?
I think I'm in Friday morning with Flynn. I know I'm in Friday morning. I think it's Flynn, but I heard the midday show saying he's in, like, Italy. Was that a joke? Were they joking?
Well, he can come back.
No, I know, but I just, he's coming back to work on a Friday with me. Let's extend your vacation a little bit. What
yeah,
are you doing?
You might want to talk to management about that. Yes, I know I would not be back in time for that shift. No, I'm in Italy. I'm not rushing back for a Friday morning.
To have me yell at you? No, and first, not even, first thing off the plane?
Yeah. Nothing personal, no matter what the shift is. Like, I'm not rushing back from Italy. So here is another reason that I'm annoyed at the Patriots offseason, and that's what's going on at left tackle. And I know, look, do offensive line in your own time, Murray. Well, it is my time. Otherwise, you wouldn't have taken vacation. So I'm sitting here for you, Mike. So, yeah, I'm going to talk offensive line because I'm pissed about what's going on at left tackle. I wanted them to use the franchise tag on Trent Brown. I thought the logical thing to do, because of the season Trent Brown ended up having, because there was some lulls, obviously Pittsburgh, but the whole offensive line sucked in that game against the Steelers. But he proved to be... You know, he lived up to his size, a mountain of a man in the postseason. He was awesome in terms of the pass blocking and obviously in the run blocking as well. So I thought with the injury to Isaiah Wynn last year, who it feels like they want to try to use at tackle, you know, he ends up blowing his Achilles. So as you bring him along with Dante Scarnecchia, who I know, you should be able to trust him. He's the offensive line whisperer, Murray. They'll figure it out. All right.
He has a spot in the Hall of Fame.
You have a 42-year-old quarterback. You want his blind side protected at all costs, right? Mm-hmm. His comfort is paramount to their success, obviously. I thought the logical thing was tag Brown, you bring Wynn along, and you essentially have Brown play, but he's also insurance, right? So maybe Wynn comes along, and even if Brown shows up a little bit fat and out of shape or whatever, like I can understand why you wouldn't want to sign Trent Brown, considering his history in San Francisco, and even some of the stuff you read about when he first got here, didn't like to watch film.
Yep.
Why you wouldn't want to give him a long-term contract. But logically, you should have tagged him. It was $14.5 million.
Right, one year, in theory, keeps him motivated. He's still playing for a contract.
Yeah. But, hey, I was wrong. Here he is. He gets the monster deal, highest paid tackle ever. He goes to the Oakland Raiders. And it felt like, because, you know, even leading into free agency, he was the one name you didn't even hear. You heard that they were talking to Ryan Allen, the punter.
Yep.
They were talking to pretty much
Kaskowski.
All of their players. Yeah, but you never heard Trent Brown's name, so I had resigned myself to, okay, he's going to go. But it turns out Belichick actually wanted him back. This from Peter King, who's now with Pro Football Talk.
That's, yeah, like NBC.
Yeah. You sent me this before we ended up coming on here today. Peter King writes, you saw the pictures, I assume, of Bill Belichick and girlfriend Linda Holiday in Barbados on the weekend before free agency began. They have phones there, and Belichick was using them. Uh-huh. Don't let those photos fool you, said Drew Rosenhaus, the agent, who I talked to on Sunday. We talked one morning at 4:30 a.m. about Trent Brown. They wanted to keep him. Brown, of course, went to Oakland. As Mike Reese reported, the Patriots were heavily into the Adam Humphries bidding as well before the slot receiver went to the Titans. So there's a couple of things that annoy me about this. One, they wanted Brown, but they obviously didn't end up bringing him back. Why not just put the franchise tag on him? They wanted him back. Logically, they should have brought him back at least for the 1 year. And the other thing, this reeks of, Well, he was doing work. Like, you're doing Bill's bidding here by writing this. Like, oh, even though you saw him partying and it was all boobs ahoy there on the beach between him and Linda, like, he was working, guys.
Yep. Oh, no, he was focused. He looked focused, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He looked focused on free agency. He looked locked in. No, that's exactly what that is. That is pushing back on a narrative that I think Bill is sensitive about. Bill's the grinder, Jim. Like, Bill's the guy. He's always going to put in that extra amount of work. Have you seen him at a pro day yet, by the way? Have you seen him at any pro days out there getting ready for the draft?
Now, you brought this up on a crossover before the guys wrapped up last week and you came on, and I hadn't even thought about that.
Alabama's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Alabama's tomorrow.
He's at these things, working out guys that I immediately fall in love with. I'm like, oh, yeah. I remember it was he did the Vanderbilt one a few years back with a guy that ended up with the Houston Texans.
Yep, Cunningham.
Zach Cunningham.
Yep. You know whose pro day he missed? Vanderbilt's. Already happened. He loves Rutgers. You know whose pro day he missed? Rutgers. So, I don't know. I mean, he's on the beach, boobs ahoy, and now he's pushing back on that narrative. So, I think that narrative has struck a nerve. I think that is why you got that in Peter King's column, because he's, no, he was, the phones work there. Yeah, phones work on my vacation too, but I'm on vacation. I'm not exactly locked in on work. Maybe I'm tangentially paying attention to a few things and keeping an eye on storylines, but I'm not locked in. I'm having a few drinks. I'm at the beach. I'm not exactly paying attention. Like, it sounds like they weren't with Adam Humphries.
His capologist there with him too? His scouting staff
exactly.
there with him too?
Right.
Did he have all of the binders? Did he bring a conference room with him? The notion that he can sit on a beach and be just as involved and just as active as he could be if he were, I don't know, at work is asinine.
Yeah.
No days off, man.
No, the comma. You have to put, no. Yeah. Days off. But the Trent Brown thing, again, don't get it twisted. I didn't want him back in a long-term contract. That was going to end up being like Alan Branch, right?
Yep.
Where it's okay. He was great here for a little bit. They ended up giving him the 2-year deal, and he shows up fat and happy and ends up being a healthy scratch for the Super Bowl in the loss against the Eagles a couple of years ago. Like, that was, they screwed that one up. That's what Trent Brown ultimately, I think, would have been. And I think he's going to end up being a big fatso and useless with Oakland. But on 1 year, I think you can keep him in check in 1 year. It's good insurance as you bring Wynn along. And obviously, Dante Scarnecchia got the best out of him.
Well,
and they read that Belichick actually wanted him back, too. That annoys the hell out of me.
Well, again, so this is now their offseason. They like a bunch of guys. They just can't close on anyone.
And why?
That's good.
So is it money? Are you late because Bill's partying on the beach? Like, it's just the whole thing is really, it's starting to annoy the hell out of me.
That's good. Well, I hope when Bill's skipping out on all these pro days, when they're on the clock on the draft, they don't just complain that somebody else took their guy. And they're like, what are you supposed to do? Somebody else gave him more money. Somebody else beat us to him. And we fell asleep while we were on the clock. I hope that's not the excuse then.
Dylan in the car.
Is Bill going to show up to the draft, in fact, or is he just going to take another vacation?
He's got a phone.
They have phones.
They have phones.
Go down to Barbados during the draft, Bill. They got a phone. Why, just do the draft from Barbados. Who cares?
Dylan in the car. As we're talking Patriots here, would you be willing to see them trade for a wide receiver? And you willing to give up that 32nd pick?
Green, I think we could get the best out of him, but I'd also like him to keep it because I've seen a couple mock drafts where Arizona State's wide receiver N'Keal Harry fell to us. And I think he could be a monster here. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. So I would like to see them use it on a tight end. You know, you look at some of these mocks. Mm-hmm. Irv Smith from Alabama seems
Noah
to
Fant.
Fall around. Noah Fant. Like, because, you know, the other thing, we still don't know what Rob Gronkowski's answer is. And I don't blame him. And I've said now for a little while, sitting in when the guys are here, like, if I'm Gronk, especially I look at what they've done so far at the offseason, and he has said, you know, he would like to have a lighter workload, mm-hmm. or that's the assumption, that Rob Gronkowski would like to have a lighter workload going forward. And I see what they've done and the lack of talent they brought in on the offense overall. I'd be like, yeah, I'm good. You know what? I've taken enough punishment here. I have enough rings. I'm going to walk off into the sunset and either be a crummy movie actor, or I can get into broadcasting or whatever. But enough of this. It's
yeah.
not worth it.
I mean, it is true. Like, I'm kind of to the point where I assume he's back, but it's not locked in. So if you're telling me Gronk's retiring, I would move off my stance that I want them to draft a receiver in the first round. I'd be okay with the tight end anyways in the first round. Fant, Smith, Hockenson's not going to fall that far, but whatever. And N'Keal Henry is a receiver who gets, you know, like Juju Smith-Schuster comps.
Sure.
You know, that style of player, obviously a high-end comparison. But it's another good receiver draft. Last year, which, again, they decided to take the offensive lineman who didn't play over any they had their pick of the litter at 23 and didn't draft a receiver. This is supposed to be another good receiver draft, so take that for what it's worth.
All right, coming up in our long commercial-free segment here on Felger and Maz, a pair of tickets to Monday Night Raw coming up in our next segment, so we'll be listening for that. Also, the Miami Dolphins insured themselves another decade of quarterback futility. We'll explain why coming up here on Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Fitzpatrick from the gun, officially second and 14, takes the snap. He looks to his right. Pocket's collapsing. Well, up the middle, and the ball is out indeed. A sack and a fumble recovery by Dante Hightower. Hightower on it at the 19.
Defense, first series in this game, and this crowd is different. You can tell it's a 1 o'clock start. It's been a tough ticket all week long. And the defense with two massive plays on consecutive plays have come to play football.
We play that not so much for the Patriots defense and the pop that you get from Scott Zolak, color man here on 98.5 Sports Hub. For your New England Patriots, it's Felger and Mass here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys for most of the week. Now we play that to feature Ryan Fitzpatrick. And why? Well, because the Miami Dolphins over the weekend, and I really hope Brian Flores really didn't have all that much to do with this. The Miami Dolphins, I don't know how you feel about this, Jones. To me, they insured themselves another decade plus of futility at quarterback. It's just going to be another string of bums coming after Dan Marino. And if you've never done it, just do yourself a favor sometime if you want like the sports schadenfreude cheap laugh. Google quarterback since Dan Marino. It is just stiff after stiff after stiff. Cleo Lemon, Joey Harrington, Dante Culpepper, and now we have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who in theory looks like to be the starter for the Dolphins next year. But the problem is, Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you haven't been paying attention throughout his career, is just good enough to get you five-ish wins, 5 to 6 wins. And by doing so, you're ensuring, as the Miami Dolphins, you're not going to tank for Tua, not going to try to pronounce the last name, but the quarterback at Alabama, or even Jake Fromm, who's going to come out of Georgia next year, who looked to be the 1-2 picks in next year's draft. You'll finish with 5 or 6 wins. You'll be just respectable enough with Ryan Fitzpatrick. It just happened with Tampa last year, finished with 5 wins.
They're drafting 5th, I think. I was just looking that up, yeah.
You're knocking yourself out of the first 2 positions with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I can't believe that they did this.
The key to Ryan Fitzpatrick is naming him the starting quarterback right away, because Ryan Fitzpatrick, or Fats Patrick, it works either way, does well when he doesn't have the job. Like when he's just filling in, he's awesome. And then the coaches, and it happened more than once, they're like, you know what? You're good, Ryan. You're the starting quarterback, at which point he crashes and burns. So maybe this is all just a big plan by the Dolphins. They're going to bring him in. They're going to tell him right away, you are the starter. No matter what happens, you're the starter of this team, and you'll get what Tampa Bay got in like the 4th week of Ryan Fitzpatrick, was 4 completed passes before he was taken out of the game.
See, I wonder, they're not going to let him keep the job the whole year, right?
I can't imagine.
So the wheels are turning a little bit, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, but Miami had started to get a little bit of flack for who were their quarterbacks? Like their young quarterbacks on the roster, who were they? They're scrubs. Scrub 1 and scrub 2.
It's like looking at the Patriots wide receiver.
Exactly. I think their starting quarterbacks are Mo Harris and Bruce Ellington, actually. So these guys were at the top of their depth chart, and I know they had started to get a little bit of flack for like, you know, the whole Kaepernick thing all over again. Look at this depth chart. Colin Kaepernick could be the starter. Maybe they just felt like they had to answer to that, and we'll bring Fitzpatrick in and play him for a month, and then we'll bench him. And for a month, could he really take us out of the running for the first overall pick? But I'm with you, and I'm not as big on Tua. Like Trevor Lawrence to me is a potential stud. What?
I just looked up the Miami Dolphins depth chart at quarterback. Their starter is Dash.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then Luke Falk is listed in the second spot.
Washington State. That's Tom Brady's. He like wants to be Tom Brady. Like he wants to like take and like wear Tom Brady's skin. He's like obsessed with Brady.
Dash for the starting quarterback. The hyphen, just blank spot. He can't beat the nobody. Literally nobody. He can Luke Falk beat to be named the starter in
who's Miami. The other one? There's another.
Jake. No, there's another.
Oh yeah, Rudock. Yeah,
Rudock
from Michigan. Yeah, so obviously they're terrible. I wonder if they were feeling some pressure with Kaepernick, because regardless, it's dumb. Right. Like, regardless, and again, I'm not super high on Tua. I don't think he's worth, you know, tanking a whole season for, but you're right. Fitzpatrick will probably play you to, like, the fourth, fifth, sixth pick, and you're going to miss out on the quarterbacks. Even in a bad quarterback draft this year, Kyler Murray's still going one. So, like, if you're not picking one, you're not getting the QB. He's not going to fall to you at five. So I guess you could always trade up, but right, why even bother?
But it's just more proof of stupidity by the teams in this division that will, you know, obviously continue to ensure success for the Patriots. But the Dolphins, that just made no sense to me. I was like, Fitzpatrick, like, he's like, I'm no fan of him, but he's just respectable enough to get you around five wins.
Is that a tell they've fallen in love with, like, Drew Lock or something like that, and now they'll take a quarterback this year and not wait and tank for next year, and Fitz can start for a month and then hand the gig over?
I don't know why any team wouldn't want to be trying to tank right now, either for those two next year, the kid from Georgia, and again, Tua,
Trevor Lawrence
in a couple of years.
That's what you tank for. You need a real long view tank for Trevor Lawrence, though. Like a 2-year, like Sixers style process for Trevor Lawrence. Yeah.
Gene and Stoneham, as we're talking Patriots here. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Gene. Hello, Gene.
Gene.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes. Hello.
Sorry. Hey, yeah, listen, I don't think that they should spend that first pick on a wide receiver. It's going to be completely indicative of what they think Brady's going to do, because if he can still dink and dunk like he was doing last year, then you don't need to go get somebody at a premium. You want to continue to build off of what they did last year and put somebody in that Trey Flowers spot. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. I still think you need something.
They have someone in Trey Flowers' spot. His name is Michael Bennett, and he might be better. So, like short term, he might be better, not over 5 years. But I Brady can dink and dunk, and they can rely on the run game last year, and I'm a big running back guy, as you are. But I would like to upgrade that receiver spot. I feel like they can still dink and dunk, but have a little more talent to do that. I don't get why that would be a bad thing.
Ryan in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too much.
Three quick points. Number one, you guys are missing the boat on this free agent wide receiver thing. You can't bring in a free agent wideout and pay him more than Edelman. Edelman's better than all those guys you mentioned outside of A.J. Green, which wouldn't be a free agent anyway. And
They were going to do that with Adam Humphries. And I'm guessing they would have done that with Beasley if they paid him or Tate.
My point is Edelman's better than all those guys. So that's number one.
Okay,
number
but I'm two. Telling you the Patriots were going to do it. So you can yell at us all you want, but Bill was going to do that.
Okay, well, this is my take. Number two, and I keep saying this, you guys could take this take. Hakeem Butler, wide receiver, Iowa State, the dude's a stud. Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones type potential. They'll be able to get him in the first round. And I know other callers mentioned it, but Isabella would be a decent draft pick in the second round too. And number three, this is a new take. Matt Khalil was just released by the Carolina Panthers. He's 6'7".
Oh, and Ryan, he stinks.
Yeah, he's awful. I was just going to say the same thing.
That one drove me. It's like, do you people watch football? No. He is a human turnstile and has been for years. That's not the answer at left tackle. You're better off having me at left tackle, Ryan Khalil. Oh, he stinks.
Yeah, he's bad. There's a reason they moved on from him. I mean, I like Hakeem Butler and Andy Isabella, so I'd be on board with either one.
Do you like Hunter Renfrow, the other guy, the slot kid out of Clemson, too. Maz is high on him.
I feel
him.
Like that one's
Hunter
too.
Hunter Renfrow plays baseball.
That one's a little too on the nose, I feel like.
Yeah.
that one's too obvious. I feel like the Patriots won't be in on him, but sure, if they took him, I'd like it. I really liked the Berrios pick last year, which is very on the nose for them. And, yeah, I mean, he hasn't even seen the field, but I'd get in on that kind of receiver, sure.
All right, call number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line right now at 617-931-0985. Call number 10. You will score yourself a pair of tickets to WWE Monday Night Raw. Coming to the Garden Monday, March 25th, a week from tonight, less than 2 weeks before WrestleMania as well. Don't miss The Shield. Back together for one final time. I will also be in attendance. I'm a guest of Jimmy Stewart and the Kowloon crew. Andy Wong was nice enough to offer a seat in the box. I'm very excited. I've done this before. I'm not even the biggest wrestling fan, but how can I say no to this?
Wow.
Is this going to be a hell of an event that night?
Yeah, hopefully. It's the road to WrestleMania. How could it not be, Mike?
Well, tickets are available.
I mean, Jim.
I feel like that was a shot. Tickets available right now through all Ticketmaster outlets. Again, it's The Shield together for one final time. Monday Night Raw, week from tonight at the Garden. Call number 10 right now. Pride Motor Group Contest line, 617-931-0985. You get a pair of tickets to Monday Night Raw.
More of habit than anything else.
At the Garden. Yes, you've been beaten down like a dog at this point, Jimmy. Poor Jay Stu. It's like, I just want to go to this wrestling event and forget about the show. Okay, so good luck there. Call number 10, Pride Motor Group contest line. And we come back, we're going to touch on the Celtics, who had, they were down 20, they blew a 25-point lead. Atlanta fans got to enjoy that for all of like 10 seconds on Saturday. But still, you know, I have to give them credit because that win on Saturday, Jones, I don't know how you feel about it. I feel like that team, the Celtics, 3-4 weeks ago, that's an automatic loss. They fold.
You're giving them credit for that win?
I actually am giving a little bit of credit for that win. There's still flaws.
Ugh.
There's still flaws, and Isaiah Thomas makes his return with the Denver Nuggets as well, so we'll touch on that in our long commercial-free segment here. Coming up right after the Sports Hub headlines with Marshall Hook here on Felger and Maz. 98.5 is...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.